Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for the C Block, ladies and gentlemen, featuring me. Listen, Kevin will be back in tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll go over a little more of this with Kevin, too, because he's going to want to have a discussion about it. I guarantee you Kevin has a rant about how things went. We've experienced this before. I'm going to kind of walk you through as much of it as I can, but we're going to get into the Jerry Jones audio from this morning. I had something else planned, but I do think that it is it's still a talking point, and here's why. Mike said that his kid just texted him and sent him the quote from Jerry Jones this morning.
He's at lunch right now.
And my kid also texted me and said, "Did you get yelled at again by Jerry?" And I said, "No, that wasn't me. It was our morning show." And I want to make sure anybody that has not heard it, doing something else or just now getting to the show, thank you for the Tolos that are with us. Thank you for the new listeners that have hopped in on this thing with us today as well, because I know you're like, hold on, let me go check this station out, see what's going on. We really appreciate it. Hope you're having fun. Our co-host Kevin will be back tomorrow. But I wanted to kind of go through a couple of the things that led to the situation, and then we'll get into the audio that really has been explosive and taken over all of the media around the NFL. What's interesting is two big significant NFL stories that popped today. One of them being Devontae Adams' trade, and the other one being that Mike Tomlin is going with Russell Wilson. I think those are significant things. But Jerry Jones' conversation with this morning, I think the headline that I'm seeing, Alec, mostly is that he threatened to fire radio hosts. And the reality is, and we'll play the audio here shortly, the reality is he can't fire us. He doesn't have the control to do that. So I want to make that pretty clear.
They didn't do anything except ask basic questions. I didn't say basic, but they did not do anything to deserve. Sean, RJ, and Bobby did not do anything to deserve what
to be
Jerry
fired
did.
By our bosses.
Right. Or for Jerry to say what he said. But remember, Jerry is above almost every human being in his life. There's not a human he has to answer to.
And he's also ticked off right now, which like we all are. And I think a lot of times he knows that. He wants to prove it to everybody. I'm just as mad as you guys are right now. So here we go. We're going to start with cut 7, because this is kind of where it started for me, I think, in the interview when I was driving in this morning. He was asked, if execution is an issue on your team, why not get other players in here to fix the job?
Well, first of all, where are you going to go to get any players? Seriously, where are you going to go to get any players for the next week against San Francisco? Now, number one, I've seen these players. I've seen every one of them execute like you want the plays to be executed and do their job within the role. That didn't happen the other day, and we paid the consequences for us. But I've seen the players do it. I know we have outstanding personnel, very outstanding personnel. We just made our quarterback the highest paid player in the NFL. We've just topped the receiver list charts. So we made our bed relative to how we're going to approach with our key people with the team. We were shorthanded out there on defense, but everybody gets shorthanded. That's really not an excuse in the NFL. Your depth should step up there. And you should be able, if you can, to compensate to some degree. You can't compensate for the gap, so to speak, that we had between the way our offense played and the way we were supposed to play. I want to give Detroit a lot of credit for that. They came after us and got after us, and they put guys on top of every offensive lineman you had, and they came at it and put the kind of pressure that gave Dak a lot of problems. And gave our running game a lot of problems. We've got to be able to handle it.
All right. Right there at the beginning, you could hear the, where are you gonna get players? Like we don't know. If you're asking that question, the whole point is, we were discussing, the offseason was where you should have got them. They got their butts kicked in free agency. They do every year. They made the decision to say, this is their philosophy. We are going to draft and pay guys we draft. That's where we're going to focus. Everything in here. Where are you going to get the players right now? Right now, it's going to be tough. It's going to be, you got to go pull some trades off. Jerry's right. You need 20 players on this team right now to kind of change up what you're looking at. But then Sean asks, let's go, we're going to go down the order here, Alex. Sean asks why Jerry can't get new players on this team.
Jerry, I think the counter back when you said, where are you going to get the players? You can't get them this week is, and you're aware of all the offseason topics.
But what is your counter? What is your damn counter?
My counter
is, I really want to know where you would go get it. Now, don't tell me about should gotten a guy in the offseason.
Why not?
This isn't a damn word argument just because I'm not arguing with you. I'm dealing with how we line up against San Francisco, not what I did wrong last week or last month or 2 months ago or 2 years ago. If I really gave you guys a list of all the things I've done wrong over the last few years, you couldn't be on this program for the next 5 years steady and go over it. But every now and then you do some right things, and at the end of the day you add it up, and the rights give you a better spot than the wrongs. But if you think for any minute right now, there'll be one Super Bowl champion. What'd the others do wrong? There's one Super Bowl champion. Now, we want to be that champion. And I'm sure not throwing the towel in today because of what happened out there Sunday. But I'm not going to sit here and waste a lot of energy, a lot of time. Let's talk about what I should have done back in 1907 or 2017. Come on. I've got more time than that, and I actually don't even have time on this great show for looking back at decisions.
That was the moment that it had started to turn. That was the moment where Jerry had made his mind up, and he was like, okay, is going to get a little contentious. Let me ask you some questions. Because when you ask people questions, it kind of stuns them, starts making them ask questions themselves.
Yeah.
I thought Sean did a reasonably good job of making sure he was in line
Sean
for that.
Sean did a great job because he tried to follow up, and Jerry knew where he was going. So Jerry stopped it, you know, and I can see, I'll say this. I can see Jerry's point. I'm not a Jerry Jones fan. I can see his point or point of view. I would say this, you never work hard at this. You've never in your life worked hard at football. Have you worked hard in your life at getting Papa John and Pepsi and Nike and money for your team and money for the NFL? 100%. I'll never question how hard you've worked to become a multi-billionaire in the sport of football and how much you've improved the Cowboys brand and money.
That is strong.
You've never worked, I won't say never, you have worked so little in your life, Jerry Jones, as the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, or done right things as like you're not working very hard.
And it did sound too like, hey, look, can we just forget about those other things and focus on San Francisco? Like, let's focus on this bye week. Like, that's what I thought we were here to talk about today, was that. And the guys, honestly, they have more questions about why you got beat 47-9 and where did the effects go for that. And Jerry's like, look, it's going to take too long to really sit down and detail that. Now let's go to cut nine here. I'm going to just kind of leave it to this part of the conversation here.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
That was part I didn't love so much, because Sean and RJ have done a fantastic job over what, 11 years now. In
at least that, right?
And when things are bad, they ask fair questions. Whenever things are good, they ask fair questions too. Obviously, we love it more when things are good. It's easier for us. It's more conversational. I can ask Steven anything on Mondays whenever things are going good. And I can ask Jerry. We can talk about, I'd much rather talk about all the other stuff in the world. I said this last week. man, I'd love to spend the entire time, the entire conversation, just having a little chat with him.
I think, is this right, Alec? I'll let you say it if it's true, because I just saw it.
Yeah, we do have some breaking news here on The Fan presented by BetQL. The Bills are trading for the Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper.
Oh, wow. Amari Cooper going to the Buffalo Bills, giving Josh Allen an actual weapon to throw to.
A third-round pick is going back to Cleveland.
Jerry.
For a third-round pick.
Because
the Cowboys did trade him for the Cowboys traded a first-round pick. Then traded a fifth or a sixth?
They got a fifth round.
They got a fifth
pick for him.
So let's look at this. From Jerry Jones' work ethic. Let's look at Jerry Jones' work ethic as a general manager through the lens of Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, you gave a first round pick to get him. Then gave him a major contract, right? Then traded him for a fifth round pick. And then, am I right? Is it 2 or 3 years later?
I feel like it's three.
Then he gets a third round pick as he's getting closer to the end of his career.
Yeah, he's still really good.
Amari Cooper wraps up Jerry Jones as a general manager.
That the trade of Amari Cooper was they were just like send him to purgatory.
Yeah, it just shows how much they can actually understand value of a player.
Yeah, they wanted to send him to purgatory. They weren't happy with him. Yeah. And so they said, "See you later." And we got CeeDee Lamb. Now that being said, CeeDee Lamb's great. CeeDee Lamb's a fantastic receiver to have. But this is interesting because Josh Allen with Amari Cooper is going to be a very interesting watch. My Josh Allen in my fantasy league might work out even more for me here. But yeah, that is that there. So that's another interesting portion of this. Very good on the breaking news today. Lots of trades being moved around. And that's where the other part of the conversation is, right? With Jerry, if you're having the discussion of where you're going to get players, there are teams right now that are contenders. There are teams right now that are fighting to be contenders. And they're making moves. There are teams right now that are not contenders and they're selling. Are you picking up the phone and calling those teams that are selling? That's saying that we can go find something. We can actually do something other than sitting on our hands and saying we can't do anything right now. We just have to sit and wait and hope that Mike McCarthy can do something special with the recipe that we've given him so far.
And I think this is where Jerry's work ethic comes into question. If you're going to run the franchise the way he does, which is we only draft and then we sign C and D level free agents, and sometimes they end up being very good free agents. I'm not saying Eric Kendricks is not doing a good job when he's healthy on the field. He is. What I'm saying is if you're 100% into the draft and nothing else, you have to trade DeMarcus Lawrence today. You have to trade Zach Martin today. You should have traded Tyron Smith 3 years ago. If you're only a drafting team and you have to get all of your players through the draft, then as your players have 3 or 4 years left, and I know Zach Martin's probably retiring at the end of the year, and maybe he's not.
Who knows, yeah. Right.
But, like, that's how you have to do it. He just isn't, and the thing is, I know he's educated enough, and I know he's super smart. He just doesn't care. That's why I quit the Cowboys. I know that the person running the Cowboys, his priority of winning is, like, third at best on his list, and I don't even think it's third, but I'll give him credit that it's third on his list, is that if you're going to run it this way, Jerry, you have to trade guys right now. You have to start.
You got to make some moves.
You have to make players available that you know you're not going to sign long term, or you feel like you can't financially afford them long term, to then add a whole bunch of draft picks. Because if you're ever going to build a championship team just through draft picks and signing your own, then you have to accumulate 10 to 14 draft picks a year to do what you want to accomplish. But he can't think that far because it's not that big of a priority for him.
This team, in order to make something special happen, if they want it this year, they got to make some significant changes or hope that whenever those players come back, that's the changes that they need.
As we end this segment, just soak this in, Cowboy fans. You traded a first for Amari Cooper. Then you traded him for a fifth. And then a few years later, he gets traded for a third. Are your Cowboys doing a good job?
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, Power Ranking the Power Rankings. We look at every single one of them next on The Fan.
Prescott in the gun on fourth down. Lipke on his left. Snap comes back. He has time. Throws to the middle of the field. Incomplete. Intercepted. At the 50-yard line by the safety, Branch. And Branch up the middle of the 10 to the 5 to the 3.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We will get into power ranking the power rankings in just a moment. But Mike, before we do that, Jose Ramirez is with the Cleveland Guardians, and he held a meeting before the game 2 days ago. And he told all the guys that he would pay them $500 for each RBI and $1,000 for each home run, according to what he said in an interview with Carlos Baerga.
Okay.
He told the guys, hey, look, for every RBI, $500. Every home run, $1,000. And then they move on to the ALCS. So that's how often does that kind of, like, I know I feel like there's a lot of that kind of conversation of,
hey. I don't know, but I guess we heard that Nate Lowe, every time he gave an assist to Evaldi, like, Evaldi's like, I'll be there. I'm going to cover first every time they're like, I'll give you $100.
Yeah, because didn't Evaldi, like, it was part of a bonus or something?
But yeah, he got, it was interesting.
But he takes that seriously, too. He takes playing defense seriously.
So I would say this for, I don't know Ramirez's contract, but I think he's like at about 20 something million a year. Really a good lot. Contract, right? Good player. They signed him long term. Is for him, the playoff bonus isn't that big of a deal. So if he's like, so if we make the ALCS like they did, I'm going to assume this, I don't know this number, I'm going to make it a nice round number. Each player gets $100,000 for making the ALCS. So out of that $100,000, if he ends up doling out, I'm going to make a big number here, $20,000 of extra bonus money to these players who make less but come up with big situations, a Lane Thomas grand slam, a David Fry big hit, you know, that ends up being an RBI double or a home run or whatever. He's probably like, this is great. This brings us together. It gives us extra incentive, extra motivation, team building. I'm the leader of the team. I'm kind of the, in a way, the captain of the team, and I'm handing out extra money for having big, you know, for coming through big in the playoffs. So
from the 972, so do you get $1,000 or $1,500 for a home run since you already get the RBI?
Yeah.
I bet it was, hey, just I'll double it for the home run.
Yeah.
But then you got runners on and you hit a home run. Hey, let's get some money here. Yeah. You get a grand slam. You're making some cash.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it's fun. I always think it's fun, especially whenever, you know, if people do.
Did you hear Aaron Boone on Jose Ramirez, like, before the series started? He's like, if one more person comes to me and says Jose Ramirez is underrated, or is he the most underrated player in baseball, I'm going to throw up. Like, it's like, I think he said, I'm going to throw up, because he's like, he's highly rated. He makes the all-star team all the time. He's winning awards in the off season. He's getting MVP votes, you know?
So, it just feels like because he plays for Cleveland, right? He's overlooked.
That's it.
Yeah.
If he was, to your point of Michael Young and Derek Jeter, I think you make, there's partial truth to that.
There's also partial homerism there.
If you play for a team like the Cleveland Guardians / Indians in your career, you might not be as recognized if you play in another situation. That being said, there's the counter argument that I would say, how is Ken Griffey Jr. so popular playing in Seattle and Cincinnati?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. They just hit the right, you know, they were the face. They were exactly the one.
And Jose Ramirez is not Ken Griffey Jr.
Not at all.
Very good. Probably a future Hall of Famer.
The there was something else I wanted to get to, and I just got this note from Alec. This morning when Jerry was talking with Sean and RJ, he was in the car driving to the airplane. And at one point he goes, oh man, we almost ran up somebody's butt just now. And I thought that was pretty funny. But he's in the car riding on an airplane because he's going to Atlanta to have meetings with the NFL. And he did throw out that line of, you guys come sit in on this meeting. And I don't know if he threw out a line of, y'all sit in on the meetings I have with the coaches or something like that too. And I was like, I'd love to. If he gave me the access to go sit in and hear what their conversations were, I'd love to hear that, because then I'd have a better explanation on a lot of things too. Now, I understand there's a lot of, I don't need that access for anything, but man, you going to let me sit in there and hear what they're discussing after they got their butts whooped on Sunday? I would love to hear what Jerry's asking the coaches, what the coaches are giving him in response, and how they're coming up with solutions.
So here would be one of my questions.
Sorry, real quick, to that point, because he's flying to Atlanta, the NFL announced today that they've selected Atlanta to host the Super Bowl in 2028. So they will host, they will be hosting that Super Bowl. That's the news I wanted to get to.
Okay, and I think, when did they host it last time? Like 2019?
And you guys went, yeah. So
yeah, I can't remember the exact year. Maybe it was after. No, I remember when it was. It was the day they traded for Porzingis that week.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So the week they traded for Porzingis. I would ask this question because if we're not executing or we don't, or we seem to be lost at times, my players, here would be a real question Jerry should ask, and I don't know if he does or not. Are my players too stupid to do these? Like, they can't understand. Do we have too dumb of players or stupid of players? I know those are harsh words, but I would use those terms in the meeting.
Seems like a harsh conversation.
Is he making mistakes because he's too stupid to know what to do, or he's not talented enough to do it? Which one is it? And if there's another answer, he's not stupid. He's not, like, he has the talent to do it. Why is he not doing it? Is it now you are not competent enough to teach this talented, smart football player what to do?
It's valid.
So now I need to figure out, is he too stupid? Is he not talented enough? Or are you not competent enough to teach him how to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things, we used to have a guy named Frank Provenzano on with us on Wednesday and Thursday nights whenever we were a night show. He was the former assistant GM for the Stars. And I loved his perspective. We used to call him DFW's general manager because we would ask him questions on what's the decision, what's the conversation. He was the one that broke down contracts. He was the one working contracts with players and agents. And so I would always ask him, why is this decision being made? If it was the Rangers, the Cowboys, we'd kind of put him in those shoes. And one day he comes back and he went to a scouting meeting with Broadus, one of those, you know, draft meetings that he used to have whenever they'd go watch film. And he sat down and he comes back and he's like, that was amazing because those dudes were having real conversations. Like, they're, and this was Jeff and Broadus and all them. He was like, those guys are having real arguments about why this player deserves to be a first round pick and why not. And that's where, those are the things I'd love to hear. The real conversations. You have to be, is the player stupid or not talented?
Right.
You have to have that real conversation so that you can figure out what makes your team better, how you're going to get better. But the other part of it is, you have to have coaches that are going to answer you the right way.
Yeah.
Not just to say to keep their job, but they're answering you because this is the best thing for the team. And that's what you really have to get in return. It has to be a real back and forth so that the owner knows what decisions, the owner and GM knows what decisions to make. But you also have to be the right ones giving those assessments whenever you're doing it as well. All right, let's power rank the power rankings right now as we dive in. Guys.
Kansas City.
I have four options. Kevin usually only has three options. I have given you ESPN, CBS, The Athletic, and Yahoo Sports.
Oh, not NFL?
I threw Yahoo Sports in there.
I usually go with the NFL because they cover the NFL.
That makes a really good point there.
I will say, I've turned my head to ESPN. My television's on MLB Network, but ESPN has only covered the NFL all day today.
Nothing else.
Maybe early voting in Georgia. I don't know. Came home and...
They didn't cover that on ESPN.
But I will go with ESPN because they're only covering football today.
All right. Alec, you agree?
Full agreement.
All right. Let's start at the bottom, or the south, as they do in Italy. You start at the north and you work your way down to the south.
Don't think you're meeting in the middle in Rome. That's very confusing. You eat your Rome third.
Who is the worst team in the NFL?
Jacksonville. Screw them.
Okay. That is incorrect. They are number 31.
Anybody want a Trevor Lawrence jersey that Derek Holland gave me?
They are number 31, though. So that is, they are just bad enough and just good enough to be right over this next team. Alec?
Is it the Drake Mayos? Is it the New England Patriots?
It is the New England Patriots with Drake May as their starting quarterback. Look, his performance Sunday was a beautiful, he had a beautiful 40-yard touchdown pass.
Okay, what else? Did he look like a North Carolina basketball player trying to play football, Ronald Curry?
He got to go play football in the pros. All right, let's put it that way. So he did. Now, will he add to it? Maybe. But there's a lot of stuff that he's working about there. Who's next up? So let's go for the bottom five here. Carolina moves up one spot from number 31 to number 30.
You're going to do all 32 teams?
No, we're just going to do the bottom five, and then we'll do the top five. We'll figure out the top
one. I know the Giants have two wins. They stink.
The Giants? are number 25 on ESPN's list.
Don't worry. They'll get back in the bottom five here in a hurry.
The Panthers at 30.
Oh, the Rams are horrible.
The Rams are 26. So you guys are, y'all are in the area, but.
I need to pull up. I don't even have standings pulled up. I have me and you pulled up on YouTube right now.
This team has an orange helmet.
The Browns, they're horrible.
Traded their best receiver, the Browns, at 29.
The Cowboys have beat the Browns and the Giants. Mm-hmm. Where are they ranked in the NFL?
And the Steelers. Don't forget about the Steelers.
I know. So, but yeah, where are these two teams
26 ranked? Or 25 and 28. So they've beaten. So
those are good wins
two
right
of
there.
The bottom 25 teams.
Beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Let's move up to number
one. Where's Pittsburgh at?
Who is number? We'll get to Pittsburgh in a minute. Who's number one?
Kansas City.
Kansas City is correct. Number two.
I'll go with Minnesota.
Minnesota is also correct at number two. Who's number three?
Cowboys?
Mike, is it because...
They score three a lot.
They did score...
I mean, how many times...
Three times three is nine.
In fact, is our Aubrey guy, is he going for the most field goals in the history of a season?
Probably so.
I think it's probably the team that beat the Cowboys. Give me the Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions move up four spots to number three.
For beating the Cowboys?
For beating the Cowboys.
That's how ESPN does these things, man. They are really knee-jerk with their power rankings.
Number four, they are a Texas team.
All right, let's go. Let's become a Houston Texan team.
Well, Reggie did.
Let's cover the Texans.
Reggie is definitely covering the Texans down there.
Let's ask Jerry on Friday if he comes on. Ask him all Texans questions.
No, I don't want to do that. I'll ask other questions.
I'll study the Houston Texans and start asking him
Texans questions. Are number four. Number five. The Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
And then
remember when they were 0-2?
Oh, yeah. And everybody was like, everything's falling apart for them. It just took them a minute to ramp things up and get going. The rest of it rounds out the Buffalo Bills at 6. Tampa, after a phenomenal... Then, hey, the Cowboys have Tampa on their list, too. That was a great game by them against the New Orleans Saints. The Packers, the Commanders, and the top 10 rounds out with the San Francisco 49ers. The Steelers are 11, Mike. So the Cowboys have beaten a top 11
team. That's a good win.
Where do you think the Cowboys are?
16.
I'm right there with Mike. I'm going to go 16.
All right. I'm always with you on middle of the pack whenever the Cowboys are bad.
It doesn't sound like we nailed it.
You are one spot off. The Cowboys are number 15.
Heck
on this week's
top
power
half of the better half. Yeah. Top half of the league.
Right in front of the Bears.
Take that, Sean and RJ.
They're in front of
Start
the Saints.
Start asking positive questions.
The Saints, who haven't won a game since they beat the Cowboys. And then they are right behind the Seattle Seahawks, the Philadelphia Eagles at 13, the Falcons at 12. So that's where the ESPN's list has them. And the Cowboys, I will be honest, amongst the list, I didn't see them any higher than 15. I saw them as low as 19.
Okay. I mean, think about it this way. If they would have scored 40 more points, they would have won by two.
Coming up next, we chit-chat with the fellows from the G-Bag Nation, next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, this crosstalk brought to you by D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how are we doing today in the G-Bag Nation?
Excellent, Majors. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Came in to work this morning, listening to the... as soon as I got in the car at 8 o'clock, the interview started. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. They had to move it up a little bit early today. Perfect. And then the entire drive was that interview. And it was...
genius.
It was exhilarating. I'll use that genius. Okay, when you say genius,
yeah,
on whose part?
On Sean and RJ's part. You know, just the way they handled it, the follow-up questions they had, the, you know, the calm and the poise under fire like that, and the very genuine question of, why are you so mad? You know, I thought that was an apex point for me.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those where you couldn't leave the radio. That was for sure. I mean, I was in the car, so I was locked in anyway, but I would not have walked away from it just because I was entertained, for one. And that's the whole thing. I've said this many times. I would like to just talk to Jerry about anything else than the Cowboys week sometimes on Fridays. I'd be perfectly happy saying, Jerry, let's just shoot the S about this, because I think he can talk about tons of stuff, hunting ducks, all sorts of fun stories. But you know, a lot of times it's like, hey, you guys have to hold his feet to the fire on everything. I thought they did a really good job on that. Now, when it comes to when Jerry gets hot like that, what does that tell you? What does that signify to you guys?
I think he's really frustrated that his payroll is high for his quarterback, his wide receiver, several of, you know, his offensive tackle, his guard. you know, he's not getting the type of play that he needs from guys that he's made the highest paid at certain positions. And I think that's very frustrating to him right now that, you know, that he earmarked several of these players as, hey, these are my guys. These are the guys that when it gets tough, that's how I'm going to win a football game. I'm going to win it with Dak. I'm going to win it with CD. I'm going to win it with Zach Martin. I'm going to find a way to win it with Terrence Steele. And I kind of feel
Diggs.
Like, yeah, Diggs. Yeah, and it has to be extremely frustrating for him. And Sean and RJ and Bobby did a really good job of pressing him on that in a way that, you know, was like, listen, you know, you're relying on these guys and they're not coming through. And I think that's the biggest frustrating thing for him. He can't make moves right now. He can't change everything out. You know, that's frustrating to him. He knows his football team is who it is right now, and it's not good enough. And I think that's the level of frustration that he's dealing with right now.
I think he also knows that he's messed up. All the things that was being criticized, that the media conspiracy with the running backs, stuff's proven to be true, right? So I think that there's a little bit of self-reflection of, oh, I don't really know what else I can do here to fix this now. And maybe all the stuff that we talked about in the offseason where you've got holes on your roster, you should have realized this in March and April. These are things you could have gotten ahead of. You could have gotten ahead of the contracts. That's great that you went ahead and signed Dak and CD. We all knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I understand there's an agent, their side of that too,
yeah.
Right? But come on now. That
doesn't
stuff,
change your football team. No. Those two guys were here when things weren't good enough.
Yes.
And then you went ahead and did nothing to fix it.
You could
and
have
then,
figured out a better plan. And now you've got to sit here and eat and lay in that bed that you made for yourself. And that's probably a tough pill to swallow.
Totally. Very much so a tough pill to swallow. I thought it was very human of him to just be angry about the situation. He doesn't want to come to grips with it, really admit it yet, because all offseason, which is just a few months ago, he was indignant about, hey, yeah, he's telling Stephen A., yeah, I'm surprised and hurt that people don't think we've built an awesome team. Clarence Hill, I'm the man for the job. I'm the best for this. He's gaslighting us. Like, you guys are crazy. This team's awesome. And now we're just in the blink of an eye. The season's you haven't even barely gotten the plane off the ground, and you are a bad football team. And that does suck, Broadus. I'm driving in today thinking that's the worst thing is you have a quarterback that you've paid now. You have the most expensive quarterback. You have the most expensive quarterback wide receiver combination, and you have an awful offense.
Yeah.
And your right tackle you paid. Like, all the guys that you paid, there's Diggs scared to tackle anybody and getting burnt for touchdowns. What are you here for then? So that would be a very tough pill to swallow, and I understand why he, with the power he has, and not many people are pushing on Jerry like those guys were doing this morning, he doesn't know how to handle that. He's going to lash out. He is extremely frustrated.
I don't know that I've ever heard Jerry talk to the players through the media. I really don't know if I've ever heard, while I've been doing this, I don't know that I've ever heard him send messages through us, but there, it seems like he wants a message to be very clear that he's frustrated right now, that he's upset about this. But I wonder if the players while they're sitting in this 47-9 loss in this bye week, if they look at that in any way and they're like, if they take it a different way or if he's had that conversation. I asked him a couple weeks ago, when do you raise hell? When do you go be a real son of a bitch? When do you walk in there and start letting people know that, hey, man, it's time to change something? And I don't know, Broadus, does he ever walk in and do that anymore?
I've seen him really mad before, you know, and he's been mad at me a lot. And so I understand this one.
He's got no leg to stand on this time, though.
No, and
he can't say anything. Yeah, he didn't give them a good opportunity here.
Yeah, he, you know, as the general manager, it's his responsibility for the team. And when they get manhandled the way they did, that it stops with him. You know, he's built this roster, and he's, you know, that's the thing that has to be super frustrating to him. And you never want to see in that building, you never want to see Jerry mad, because then now everybody's walking around on eggshells in that place. But, you know, the thing, your hope is that these coaches figure this out. You know, we saw last year at week 7 during a bye that the offense was not running very well. Maybe with the players being away, that they can kind of sit down and kind of figure out ways to get this thing going the right way. As a fan, that's your only hope, because there's Superman's not walking through that door. You know, this is who you are right now, and it's up to coaches, it's up to front office to kind of figure out now the second half the direction that you need to go.
Those questions just weren't that hot, though. You know, I think they were good questions, and the follow-ups, it was kind of funny to hear them almost laughing at how intense Jerry was, because I was just surprised that, you know, he was coming off so triggered. You know, and I feel like the majority of times people act like that, it's they feel threatened or insecure about it, you know. And then I think of, why would you be threatened and insecure? You're 82 years old and people are maybe starting to suggest you've had it, you know, and, you know, maybe you should not be doing this job anymore. So I could see, you know, being in his place, you know, under that context of why you would start to feel threatened, why you would start to feel a little bit defensive. But this is so easy to escape from, right? It really is rooted in his inability to admit to the public that they're in a rebuild. Like, all you would have to say is, yeah, we're not that good. We've gone young. You know, had to let a lot of depth go. Then we had some injuries, and we're hoping that we can get back in the next couple of years. That's all you have to say to smoothly segue out of this into the post bye week. Now you've settled expectations, but he wants to constantly be selling fans. You know, the only other scenario is that it's totally surprising to him at how bad this team is.
Yeah.
And he is so hurt by it.
Yeah.
It's causing toxic arguments behind the scenes, and he's bringing that energy onto the radio. And if that's the scene, then he really does need to, you know, leave the front office. Because if you couldn't look at this team and sort of expect what you saw on Sunday, you have no clue what a good football team looks like.
Yeah, it makes you feel, I agree with you on the transparency part, because then the fans are going, you're delusional. Instead of saying you're delusional, they're going, okay, oh, yeah, well, we can survive this. Here's the thing. I don't think that stadium's not going to sell out if you admit that either. I don't think there's going to be less interest in the Cowboys if you admit it. The Rangers, different story. The Mavericks, different story. Stars, different. I think the Cowboys, no matter what, people are going to fill that state. It's still a destination.
I think the honesty would be refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of just acting like, oh, we couldn't pay Derrick Henry, or we couldn't do this or couldn't do that, just be honest with you. We don't want to put that type of money and resources to the running back position right now. We've been doing that. We just placed a franchise tag on Tony Pollard for $10 million. Did nothing for us. We paid Ezekiel Elliott a fat contract. It bit us in the ass.
Hey, what do you mean by fat?
We don't want to go ahead and do that again. Yeah. And you know what I'd say? Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much for being honest. Yeah. Instead of just blowing smoke up people's rears. And the thing is now, I think the frustration is also brewing, especially with this all-in comment stuff. And he basically said, yeah, my all-in was signing Dak and CD. Mm-hmm. That ain't all-in. That was going to be a foregone conclusion anyway. Micah Parsons next up in the pipeline. He doesn't have to get a sack the rest of the season. That dude's going to be paid. Stephen Jones told us on our show that they have to pay Micah. They're preparing for that. Micah, hey, hungry dogs run the fastest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why does Micah have to be hungry? He's going to be set for life here in a year. So that's also an area that's an issue with this football team. But for Jerry, I think now the fan base, he doesn't have the ear. I think now the fans are starting, it's in one ear, out the other when he's talking now, and that's got to be a bad feeling too.
Man, that extra rest Woolchuck got yesterday from not being on y'all's show really paid off. It's looking good right now.
Y'all's time slot's pretty amazing.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's a nice one.
I cannot wait to hear what you guys have coming up on the show today.
Yes, sir. Calvin Watkins, 320. Mark Schlereth, 440.
Man, fantastic stuff there. You are rolling home with the G-Bag Nation.
Is he going to be a...
Oh, yeah, is it going to be
a... As always, thanks for asking, Corey.
There you go. Thank you.
Catch. Good
Kevin will be back tomorrow.
Nice to see you.
Take care of all that stuff so that I don't have to embarrass myself anymore. All right, we'll
say ciao?
We'll be back tomorrow.
Ciao.
Bye. What's your point?